This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. It's so good to have you folks with us as we continue on our journey of changing the person in the mirror in season two here. How are you today, Lakrita?
I am wonderful, Jennifer, and yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Looking for the holiday season?
Yes.
I know you do outreach.
Yeah, Touches of Love, actually.
How's that going?
It's going pretty good. We've had a couple of really nice donors give us some stuff to be able to do our outreach, and that is Buskin Bakeries.
Amen.
Shout out to Buskin Bakery. They yes. donated some cookies that we could put in our package, and Deeper Roots Coffee. They've wow. donated coffee that we can put in our package. So it's been really good. And for those of you who don't know what that is, you can check out our Facebook page, Touches of Love, or we have our website, Touches of Love. You can go out there and check that out. Just briefly what it is, we do an outreach to older folks in low-income retirement communities, and we just show them God's love in a practical way by delivering them just very small gifts, but it's a cool thing.
Amen. Hopefully we'll begin to get sponsors for our podcasting.
There you go.
You know, so people who want us to be able to advertise their information and how they do things and how they give, that will, you know, eventually in the future, hopefully, we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So awesome. And that's a nice reminder. If you have any feedback or questions about the podcast, you can reach us via the email address that is in the description of the podcast. And we would love to connect with you. We'd love to hear your feedback. We may even do a podcast at one point where it is nothing but Lakrita answers your questions. That would be really, really cool. So send those our way. Let's jump into a little bit of execution. So we've talked prior about what change is, how you prepare for it, how conflict can arise as part of change, and even just having courage to take that first step to change. So today, jumping into execution, this feels more like it's going to have very practical steps to it.
The how-to. Yeah. Execution, I think, has many facets. And I think that we have to be willing to look at what execution is. And a lot of times we just think about it is to do something. But I believe execution has a bigger piece of planning things. And it's strategic. And you have to be willing to look at it from all angles. Mm. And so to deal with the person in the mirror and looking at taking self-responsibility, a lot of people, or even myself, that is probably one of the hardest things to do. We think it's not. We're more self-critical than we are with other people. We live more outwardly than we do inwardly. And the reason that is because we are looking for someone to validate who we are, the world around us, to try to figure out in our developmental stages of why things work the way they do, how do we deal with relationships, how do we deal with just all things around us. And so for me, I have learned in my studies of this last 28 years of executing someone or presenting to the world someone different, it took executing. And executing, there's different ways. I also want to talk about when you execute something, you also got to kill something. Mm. So it's going to have two layers here. Because when we think about execution, we look at people on death row and they're going to be executed because they committed a crime or they were found guilty of the crime, and they have been sentenced to death. And that is an execution. Well, I've come to realize in order to become someone different, I have to execute and kill off some of the choices I've made prior to the person I want to be. Because a lot of the choices we made were out of the person that was not our authentic self. Mm. So execution is the ability to carry out an idea, a plan, the ability to bridge theory and practice together.
It's and the glue, it sounds like, it between is, the two.
You know, but it's also beheading old patterns. It's also killing off old thinking, belief systems, finding and discovering new truths. So you have to execute old ways of thinking. The Bible talks about, you know, in Romans, it talks about, brother, I beseech you that you will change your mind, that you will put yourself on the altar, that you will make yourself the sacrifice. And we don't necessarily like that. It's something in us, innate in us, that don't want to kill off us. We will judge other people. We will criticize other people. We will, because we want people to form into the image of what we believe. So I'm learning that I had to execute a new plan, but I had to face the person I was in the mirror and realize that I had to confess who I was, who I am, and then start beginning to say who I want to be.
It reminds me of a line with two arrows, and the execution to kill is like going back, and then the execute to actually take an action is going forward.
Exactly.
So it kind of reminds me of that as you were talking, that there was just two parts to this, but that they're linked together.
Exactly. And they simultaneously work together at the same time. I don't know how many of us have had these moments that in our lives we will be wanting to make a decision and then we're not really counting the cost, or we make the decision, but we're so afraid of the outcome. So we almost become stagnated and we die in the place we are in instead of moving forward. So we procrastinate, we put off, we allow false evidence appear real, or we don't, you know, rise to the occasion. And so we just keep on saying, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be that. I'm going. Well, going means movement. So why are we standing still? If I'm going somewhere, I'm actually moving towards the direction. But if I'm just sitting still, just say, I'm afraid. I'm not sure. I'm unsure. I don't know. And at least admit to yourself in the mirror where you are, because the more you lie to you lie to others.
So how can someone kind of fight out of that unsurety? So they recognize they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to go from point A to point B or change a particular thing.
I think that you have to be willing to look at where you are and tell yourself the truth. I'm going to give you an example. We talked about it last time in my book when I was getting a job at Fisher's restaurant. I knew that I was a thief, you know, or I had used behaviors that would define me as a thief. And so to put myself in a position to execute someone, be over someone else's money, would probably not be the best thing for me 6 months in my journey. And so I had to be willing to take the risk of not getting the job by telling the truth. Because one of two things was going to happen. If I didn't tell the truth and I got the job and they put me on the cash register and I stole the money, I probably would have ended up in jail again. The very thing I said I didn't want anymore. So I was willing to risk not getting the job by telling them who I was. So when you're executing some decision, be honest with yourself and then be willing to take the risk that the person you're telling, if it's for you, it's for you, and nothing is going to get in its way. And matter of fact, that person that I told, his name was Dave, he was so grateful. So he made me a host. I got the job. I just didn't get the job I applied for. I got a whole new position that eventually, you know what I'm saying, was best for me in that moment. And 6 months down the line, I was a cashier in, you know, in the carryout. But it was 6 months down the line where I knew I was ready to be able to be responsible for someone else's goods without taking them or being tempted to take them.
That realness, that authenticity had to just feel like freedom.
No, it didn't. I was scared as crap. Because I had always had a facade and I had always manipulated and lied. My mother used to say, you know, you already know what goes with lying, stealing. She used to say they're almost like a liar and a thief goes together. I never understood what she meant by that until after I got over on this side. And what that meant is lying is nothing but creating a reality that is not true. In other words, most of us are liars. And most of us are thieves because we steal the authenticity of who we really are from ourselves and from other people by being afraid and not executing and being naked and unashamed. We steal the opportunity. So we lie and say we're someone we're not. Then we steal the opportunities in life for people to get to really know who we are. Because once you put on a facade, you got to keep on putting, it's like makeup. I don't wear makeup, you know, because, you know, I just don't. There's a whole story behind that, but I don't. But I realized that usually people wear it to make the enhance their beauty or enhance their look. You know what I mean? And then after a while, they're afraid to come outside without it because they have gotten caught up with who they really aren't. That's not who you are. Take that makeup off. Who you are is up under that makeup. So you have presented yourself to the world as someone, and not saying that makeup is bad, good, or indifference. It's your choice. But I always tell people, who you see me as today is who you're going to see me as tomorrow. When my husband wake up to me, the same person I went to sleep as is who he sees me. Because I don't do all of that. I'm in the process of growing my hair right now. And I refuse to, not that I deny people who get extensions, that's on them, but that I can't do, it's something about me. And I keep asking the Lord, what is that about me that can't put extensions in my hair? Every time I think about it, I'm telling you, I go to the thing, to a person, they say they'll do it. And then as soon as I never call. And I'm like, what is that? And he said, because you don't do fake well. You don't do enhancement well. That's not who you are. And it ain't, that don't put nobody down. So please, you all, don't hear me saying that. Because every preference is to yourself. But to myself be true. I'm looking at me. I'm talking about me, y'all. I ain't talking about you. So don't attach my stuff to your stuff. Don't execute your plan out of what I say about me. But I had to ask myself every time I made the appointment, why didn't I show up?
Well, and those things can be bondage too, like you were saying. If you get so attached to those things that create you one way or the other, no matter what it is, you have to wear a certain brand of clothing, or you have to carry the best handbag, or whatever it is, or you don't feel significant, important, validated, all of those things, and that's bondage, which is different than, I'd like to have extensions, so I'm going to put those in, and oh, those are really cute. That's a little bit different.
Exactly. And you can choose it however you want, but I had to ask me. Again, remember, we're talking about the person in the mirror.
I
had to ask myself that question because I needed to know why I've made so many appointments and not showed up. Finally, I heard this still small voice that we all hear. If we really get honest, there's a voice inside of you that sounds like you, but tell you stuff about yourself that you would never say. And that voice has the ability to execute truth to you. And so that voice told me, when I asked, I was just minding my own business, lying down. And it said, because you don't do that well. And then he reminded me the last time I did it, I paid the people to take it out. They was in the back of my head. And I said, stop. I can't do this. And they was like, oh, well, you know, I said, don't worry about your pay. I'm going to pay you anyway because I took up your time. But please take those, whatever amount of braids that's in there, take them out. Because I'm going to take the time to grow my hair and I'm going to get through the middle stages of it on my own. The area, you know, where we get and we're letting our hair grow and we get that, it feel like that ugly moment of I can't do nothing with it moment. Guess what? That's called life. With every change you make, there comes an ugly moment. With every change you make, there comes an uncomfortable moment. With every change you make, it comes a time where you feel like I can't get through it, so I need to go back and cut my hair off, or I need to go back and dye my hair. Every part of you is that middle ground. And so I'm in that middle ground right now of growing my hair. And I'm like, no, I'm going to accept that it's going to grow if I give it time. If I continue to take care of it, the one thing about the weather, there's going to always, as long as the earth remains, as it says in Genesis 8:22, there will be harvest time, there will be planting, there will be summer, there will be winter. As long as the earth remains, there will be seasons. So you have to decide what season are you executing in your life right now? Where are you and how are you getting there? And I've learned that a lot of us start running away from the truth that we discover about ourselves. We start running away from it. And I, you know, I'm learning that you got to learn, you know, my definition of execution is being willing to stay and play. You know, that's my definition. And people will say, well, what does that mean? Well, what that means is that, you know, whatever life you desire, you got to be willing, instead of running, you got to be willing to stay and play. Whatever it is you want in life, you got to be willing to stand still and be willing to execute the plan and know it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. We say we want to lose weight, but we still eat the donuts. We say we want, you know what I'm saying? I love me. I look at my body every day and I love every part of me. And if there's areas that I know that I may need to do different, I'm not going to sit and complain about what I'm not willing to do something about. When I listen to people complain about what they don't like about themselves, it really does disappoint me. Because I'm looking at them like, if you really don't like it, do something. Execute a different plan. But we can't always, it ain't going to happen overnight. So give yourself a year. Whatever plan you have, it's going to take times. And there's going to be times, hear my heart, that you're not going to feel like doing it. And that's okay. There's times that you're not going to feel like doing it today. Okay, then give yourself a couple of not do it today moments. Give yourself that. It's okay.
Getting back to what you were talking about related to giving yourself a year to change, it just reminds me that there is consistency that needs to be involved, and sometimes change is a series of baby steps.
It is.
Not always the big steps, but it's consistent.
But it also, you got to realize it's difficult. It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And you also got to realize, in order to play, one must be open to new ways of looking at life and engaging, whatever it is. And so you've got to be willing to say to yourself, it's work, not always fun. It's okay. Life will be okay again. I think that's what we don't give ourselves enough space for and mercy for. Like I said, I look at me all the time. There's a part of me that I have had to learn to embrace all of me. You know what I mean? Even now, I used to wear clothes that cover me. Why did I do that? Because there was something about my sexual abuse that made me feel like I didn't want people to see my shape.
It was protection.
It was protecting.
And safety.
And safety.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And once I learned, and I'm still learning, even now, when where I wear tights and I wear a shirt that doesn't cover my butt or whatever, it's okay to have my butt show. As long as I'm not being indecent.
Right.
And I'm not being, you know, disrespectful to myself. I'm going to always be modest and respectful to self. So learning those ways of why you do what you do when you do them, that's awareness. So you can execute the change you want. And I think that, you know, it's mental activity. Change, executing change is mental activity. Executing it, you're going to realize that it's not always about, you know, when I say stay and play, that means play for me is not the defining of having fun. It means staying in the game, playing the game. I'm sure Michael Jordan didn't get where he is because he didn't stay and play. And when he wasn't playing the game, he was practicing the game.
Yeah, practice is important.
And practice is important.
Yeah.
What you tell yourself, what are you saying to yourself? What views are you giving yourself? What are you letting other people say to you and how they're saying it? Are you standing up for what you believe instead of always having the propensity to bend to other people's beliefs? You've got to be willing to, it's self-development.
It reminds me of an arm wrestle with yourself to
exactly.
try to get those old patterns to be wrestled down to the truth. Because you've believed a lie for such a long time about whatever it is, so that when you do go to execute change, it's like an arm wrestle with yourself. You're trying to get that old thought down to get the new thought in.
Because most of the time, the things we believed, we let them define who we are.
Yeah.
So if I let it go, who am I?
Right.
That's why I'm calling, saying, look at the person in the mirror. Are you really who you say you are? Are you really? Are you really that person? Or is something behind you? I always talk about how many people are behind you. It's a visual I give when you marry someone and you're all laying in the bed. So just think about this. You are not in the bed with just that person. You're in the bed with his parents and his parents' parents and his parents' parents' parents. So there's at least three generations there.
Explain what you mean by that.
That means that your husband came with what he believed in his family traditions. His parents came with their family traditions. And then his parents' parents came with their family tradition. So they moved up until you married him. And you're laying in the bed with that other six people. So it's you and him. And it's the same way on your side. So if you look at it, you got 14 people in the bed with you at the same time. You got 14 people living in the house. So in order to let go of what your parents taught you, you've got to find out who you really are. And so some of the beliefs we had is the environment and the culture that we grew up in. That really is not who you are. Like, I don't like leftovers. But when I grew up, that was all we were able to afford. So if my mother cooked a pot of beans, we ate them until they were gone. We didn't have a variety. So I didn't have a lot of options. I didn't have a lot of choices. So it created me, which I'll talk about in accountability, to be a very black and white thinker, to be a very concrete. It was this and this is it. It's either this way or no way. And so executing options and choices and realizing that some of my belief systems didn't come from what I really believe. They came from who raised me and the experiences I had as a child. And then my mother, her experiences as a child, and then her mother's experience. So that's what I'm saying. So when you look in the mirror, who are you? Who are you really?
What have you inherited?
What have you picked up?
Yeah.
How many layers of clothing and ideas and belief systems are you encountering that really aren't yours? You've just been driving the work the same way for so long, you don't even realize there's another way to get there until you can't go through the way you got there.
And then you got to figure out, how do I get to work? I've always drove this way. Now I've got to figure a new route to get to a new place. Even if it's the same place, it's a new place, because I never discovered that there was other options.
So for someone who is wanting to execute change, do you recommend a starting place? Maybe they want to change a bad habit that they have. What is the best way to execute that change? Just being aware that they want to change it, and then a plan of attack, or a small, I mean, even with a plan, just knowing that they're going to do one little thing.
I think that for you to be aware of it, that's the first of it.
Yeah.
You know, just becoming conscious of it, you know, just saying to yourself, like, for me, it was like, I don't want to go back to prison, but I don't know how. That's all I know. But the question was I willing to learn a new way? I did not buy, I'm honest, I did not think it was going to cost me all that it has. But I've had to literally demolish my internal thinking to then restructure a new way of thinking. And it's been difficult, but it's been worth it. It hasn't been easy. So I would just say, be aware that what you don't want, and then go after and try to learn what it is you do want, and then find out who can help you. Who can you help you be accountable? Because that's what we're going to talk about next, is accountability. Because you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Because left to my own self, I'm going to always be who I always was. Left to my own self.
Yeah.
It's when I choose to bring other people into the scene, do I learn new things.
Right, right. All right. Well, we will wrap it up at that last thought, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks, LaCrita.
You're welcome.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to LaCrita's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by LaCrita Bowman.